Good morning, church. It's good to be back. And I want to thank you so much for your prayers and the way in which you welcomed us back. I mean, you've given us so much love. You've been telling us that you've been praying for us, that you missed us and we missed you. I'm thinking of going out again and then you could miss me some more. But thank you from the bottom of our hearts for those prayers. We really, really needed them. I'm going to ask you to be looking in your Bible in the New Testament to the first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as you look in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 3 is also going to be on the screen in just a second. I just want to let you know that those prayers on our behalf were really needed. We actually faced what I call the perfect storm just before our vacation. And I'm not going to go into details, but I want to let you know that going through that storm, my wife reminded me of something I want to share with you because I think someone needs to hear this. She told me, I'd rather be with Jesus in the boat in the middle of the storm than on the shore without Jesus. And some of us need to hear that because you might be going through a storm right now. And you might be thinking, it's desperate time. It's time to throw in the towel. But I remind you that the Savior that we serve, the Savior who saved you, not only does he walk on water, but he commands the winds and the water, and they obey. And he is on your side. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter what you're going through, or no matter what you're going to be facing this week, please remember that. But it's so good to be back. It is good to be back with God's people this morning. Good to be back to worship God with the people of God in the house of God, in the name of the Son of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and for the glory of God. That's what takes place here when we come together as the church, the people of God. We worship Him. We adore Him. He moves in our midst and He talks to us. So this morning, as you look in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to just let you know that this message comes together at the end. Because as you listen to what I'm going to be saying to you, some of you are going to be going, And then as I say something else, some of you will be going, And then other people go, But I just want you to hold on, put on your spiritual seatbelt, and let's go for a ride. And wait till the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you are physically able, I'm going to ask you to please stand for the reading of God's word. I've entitled this message, Perfectly Imperfect. Perfectly Imperfect. And this is what the word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. The Apostle Paul speaking, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God says, And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there envy, strife, and divisions among you? Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But minister through whom you believed as the Lord gave each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you so much for allowing us the blessing to worship you, to worship the perfect God in spirit and in truth. In spite of the fact that we're imperfect, we worship the perfect God. We thank you that you loved us when we were dead in sin and trespasses, and you gave us new life, eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that when we were far and lost, you found us, and you gave us peace and brought us near. We thank you that when we were enemies of the gospel, you made peace through the cross of Calvary, where your Son, the Savior, died, and you made us yours forever. Lord, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we ask you that you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, for the glory of your name. And we ask you, Father, that you speak to us, that we will listen and we will obey in Jesus' name. And God's people say, you may be seated. Perfectly imperfect. Today, I want to talk to you about something, about a reality that both believers and unbelievers at times choose to ignore. I want to talk to you about a truth that many a time has been expressed the following way. I'm sure some of you who've been around the block a few times, you've heard this before. Oh, to live with the saints above, that will be glory. Oh, but to live with the saints below, that's a whole different story. Amen? The truth, that reality, is that the church, and you know this, but sometimes we ignore it, is that the church is composed of imperfect people. Yes, people who have been saved by grace through faith, not of works, but nevertheless people who are imperfect, people who are not yet perfect, people who are in fact, and this is what you are, this is what I am, a work in progress. I want to show you a picture of what people out there, and sometimes people in here, think the church needs to look like, or they think the church is like while here on earth. Here's the picture right here. Some of you are saying, Pastor Garcia, Vacation Bible School was a couple of weeks ago. What are you talking about? But look at it. It's a perfect crayon box. Every one of those crayons is brand new, perfectly, never used. They look beautifully sharp, organized, in the proper place. It is just perfect. They fit in there nicely. Right? That's what they think the church is. They've come to the church and they're expecting perfection from its member. But the reality is that that's not what it is. Here's, behold, what is really like. Show the next picture. Now, you remember, in the first picture, nothing was used, nothing's been through a storm, no trials, no problems, no issue. But the reality is this. You see different sizes. It looks like somebody liked to chew on some of those things, right? And I see that in that corner, a little short brown one. Maybe that's me. But they've been beat up, chewed up, used up. They've gone through a lot, and they're there. But it doesn't matter if you're different. It doesn't matter if you're a different color. It doesn't matter if you speak a different language. It doesn't matter that you are imperfect, that I am imperfect. We all have to live in the same box. And that is the reality of which I want to talk to you about this morning. We are perfectly imperfect. Many times, maybe you've been through this, maybe you're going through it right now, you are looking for the next church. Where are you going to go? But sometimes people look for the perfect church. Maybe they do this without realizing it, and maybe in their subconscious mind, they're looking for that perfect church in their eyes. What they don't realize is that if they could ever find that perfect church and join it, the minute they join that church, the church will stop being perfect. You following me? I mean, some of you heard me say that before. And by the way, what a great job, Pastor Steve, you did when, I mean, I was watching you guys online. And some of you look great online. I mean, you do. You don't have the problem that I have. My big brother, Max, used to tell me, Angel, you got the face for radio. But you guys look great. The ones that I got to see, you look great, by the way. And what a great job the last few weeks Pastor Steve has been bringing these messages to our church. And I'm preaching about perfectly imperfect because I know you heard me say this before. And maybe you heard, and I mentioned that because, Steve, you said that everybody has in their lifetime at least an idea that is worth $1 million. I want you to know I had a few ideas, but I'm still broke. And in fact, I've come up with some isms and phrases and stuff that I should have gotten that copyright. I should have put that on a t-shirt, on a mug, or something. You remember on Mother's Day that I said, Mom is just wow upside down. Well, somebody beat me to it, they made the cup, and now I cannot get any royalties from it. But here's something maybe I should copyright and put it somewhere, and I'm just going to tell you right now, okay? We here at Mayfair Bible, we're perfectly imperfect here. So if you're perfect, you heard me say this before, please do not join our church, because if you do, you will mess up our perfect imperfection. Put that on a coffee mug. That's kind of long to do that. So what am I saying? What am I preaching about? Why am I preaching about perfectly imperfect? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because people need to stop looking for a perfect church. People need to start, even if it's in your subconscious, looking for that no problem, no issue, nobody has needs, nobody needs anything kind of church that doesn't exist. I'm here to tell you, stop looking for that church and just go and worship a perfect God today in a congregation of imperfect people who need grace just as much as you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you say, man, but are you telling me that when God saved me, he on purpose put me in a body of believers to belong to an imperfect church? Yeah, baby, you got it. You got it. You belong to Jesus, and he placed you to belong in a congregation of perfectly imperfect people. I want to share with you three things about this perfectly imperfect. And if you know me, I preached from this text before from a different angle, so we're going a whole different angle, but just wait. It makes sense at the end. Look at verses 1 through 3. Paul there paints the picture of the imperfect church. The picture that is painted in these verses for us is a church that is not a perfect church. Come on, you have to be honest. Read it. And after you read it, chew on it for a while. And after you chew on it for a while, chew on it some more. And then be honest and come to the inescapable conclusion that the Corinthian church, that the early church, was not perfect. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, we got to go back to the early church. In Spanish, la iglesia primitiva, which being interpreted literally means to the primitive church. Now, in English, that doesn't sound right, right? Primitive, right? But I'm saying, are you sure you want to do that? And I think I know what they mean. But I'm here to tell you that the early church had trouble too. They had issues, and some of those issues, if you knew what they were, it will blow your mind. When God paints the picture of the church in her pilgrimage on earth, he paints it, listen to me, warts and all. He doesn't hide her imperfections. In our passage today, we see that the Corinthians were not only imperfect, they were immature. They were spiritual babes that couldn't handle solid spiritual food. Paul had to feed them milk when by that time they should have been stronger spiritually. Listen, how do you know they were not perfect? How do you know they were carnal? It says it on there. It's a rhetorical question. They were carnal. But how do you know? Okay, slow down a little bit. We know because the scripture says that there were envies, strife, jealousy, fight, division. In short, they were carnal. You see, we need to understand this when it comes to the local church as we live this life here on earth. I think it's essential that we know this, that Jesus indeed delivered us from the penalty of sin. And he delivered us from the power of sin, but he hasn't yet delivered us from the presence of sin. But there's coming a day, hallelujah, there's coming a day when Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for her, will present her church, his church, to himself, but that day is not yet. Yeah, the scripture says that. The Bible says that in the meantime, something is going on. In the meantime, Jesus is doing something with the imperfect church. He says he's sanctifying her. He's cleansing her by the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself. Listen to how. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he should be, that she should be holy and without blemish. So what am I saying? What are you saying, Brother Garcia? Well, here it is, and this is something else that should have been on a cup. The church is not a museum for saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. I heard a lot of amens there, but maybe when I say what's coming on next, you might not say amen. So let me say the first thing first again, and then maybe you say amen after I say what I'm about to say. But first thing, I just said it. The church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. But the church is not a hospice for saints. I heard. Did I hear somewhere? What do you mean a hospice for saints? My wife, Adeline, is interpreting right over there. She was listening to a good preacher that I love. His name is Tony Evans. Anybody been blessed by listening to that brother? If you haven't, you need to repent from that sin. That man can preach. And I just love to hear a good preacher. I don't know about you. And this is what he was saying. This is in the words of Pastor Tony Evans. He says, you can't say, preach to me, sing to me, marry me, bury me, but don't expect nothing from me. That's called a leech. The church is not a hospice. It is a hospital. A hospice is where you're made comfortable while you die. A hospital is where you are getting fixed so you can live. Yes, people come broken, struggling, in needs, but we're supposed to patch them up so they could go back to work, not just sit, soak, and sour. Whew. He needs to put that on a cup, too. The church is not just a hospital for sinners. It's not a hospice for saints. But I know you're listening to me very intently. I can see it in your faces. And I need to say this because I don't want to be misunderstood or misconstrued. I'm not saying here that imperfection is an excuse to do whatever you want. In fact, what I'm saying is this. Imperfection is not an excuse. It's not justification to be carnal or to be worldly. I want to remind everybody that God doesn't have a self-improvement plan for the flesh. Some people think that, you know, I'm going to go take a course on how to be this and how to be that and how to do that. And all you do, you just get a little bit better. But I'm here to tell you that is not God's plan for the flesh. He does not have a self-improvement plan for the flesh. The Bible says you need to crucify the flesh. You need to put away the old man. You become a new creation. Yeah, you're imperfect, but God is working in you. The good work that he started, the Bible says that he will finish. But while he works in you, in spite of your imperfection, make sure you don't use the excuse that I'm imperfect so I could do whatever I want. I am not saying, and I want to say this firmly and lovingly, I am not saying that we should walk out of here today saying, well, since I'm not perfect, I'm just going to give up to temptation. Well, since Pastor Garcia said that I'm perfectly imperfect, I'm just going to walk in the flesh. Let me say this in Spanish. No, no, no. For those over there, no way, Jose. That's not what the scripture is saying. In fact, I think if Paul were alive, the Apostle Paul were alive today, and he heard me say that, he would say, God forbid, may it never be. To the contrary, Follow me now. To the contrary, what I am saying is, since I am imperfect, I so very much need God. Because I am imperfect, it makes me realize that I need Him even more. Since I am imperfect, I have to put my eyes and my faith on Jesus, the perfecter of my faith. When you realize this reality, this truth, this verity, you are on a mission with God. You are thriving with God because you pray in your prayers, Lord, I'm imperfect. I know that. And I need you today more than ever. But I am looking to you through your Spirit to give me what I need to do, what you want me to do. This is what we call walking in the Spirit. When you realize that if you don't walk in the Spirit, you end up fulfilling the lust of the flesh and its desires, then you say, you know what? In order to avoid that, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. So the Corinthian church, the early church, every church throughout history has been an imperfect church, a perfectly imperfect church that serves a perfect God. But how about the leaders? I'm glad you asked. Look at the second point. I want us to see not only the imperfect church, I want us to see that the leaders are also imperfect. If you have your Bible, you know that in verses 4 and 6, Paul is making a strong point. He's saying, you guys are going around like boasting, like, well, you got saved by Apollos, but I got saved by Paul. Well, in the original language, it actually says, I belong to Paul, and I belong to Apollos, when in reality, Paul is saying, wait a minute. Do not put us on a pedestal here. Do not elevate it. Paul didn't die for you. Apollos didn't die for you. You don't belong to me, Paul said. You belong to Jesus. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who lives in your heart. You belong to Jesus. The Corinthians had put the imperfect leaders in the place of the perfect Christ. They had replaced Christ and they put imperfect human beings. They replaced the Son of God, the image of the invisible God, the one who is the Word made flesh, the same nature, the same essence of the Godhead in the Trinity, and took the places Jesus out and replaced Jesus with imperfect leaders on a platform. I think you know this, and everybody knows me here by my last name is not No Wings, No Halo, okay? My last name is Garcia Martinez. But everybody says, oh, there goes Pastor Angel, No Wings, No Halo. And I know I'm the one, I'm guilty, I'm the one who started that. You could blame me, yes. But why would I want to do that? Because I want to teach you and I want to remind you that I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus' substitute here on earth. I don't want you to put me on a platform and replace Jesus with me. I want to remind you that I'm just as imperfect as everyone else here, that I need just as much grace as everyone here, that I need just as much mercy as everyone here, that if it weren't for the grace of God, where would I be? Where would you be? I wish I could expand on this a little more. You know what? I'm going to expand on this a little more. Why not? No one's holding me back. So, all right, keep your spiritual seatbelt on. Let me just say it this way. Did you know that realizing that we're perfectly imperfect has its advantages? Yeah, it does. Let me just highlight a couple of these advantages. Number one advantage of realizing that we're perfectly imperfect, it makes you realize that God uses us not because of us, but in spite of us. Number two, it reminds you that God uses us not because we're perfect, but because we're His. Let me explain this. I wish I could take all of you guys and bring you into my tiny square office. If you see my office, you should be laughing right now. We wouldn't fit in there, right? Even though I'm thinking of changing my office to the new fireside room now. I like it. And I wish I could take you on Tuesday morning when Pastor Steve and I get ready to pray for your prayer requests and go over the connection cards. A lot of times I just want to Start talking about what God is doing. I say, Brother Steve, did you see this? Look, people are requesting to be members of our church even though we don't have a lead pastor yet. That is unheard of. Look, people are saying that God is doing this and God is doing that. People are praying for this and are praying for that. And I wish I could take you in so that you will hear him say and you will hear me say, that's not us. That is Jesus in his people. That is Jesus working through you for the glory of his name. We want you to know that God, who is perfect, uses imperfect people. Because after all, and by the way, Missy, you didn't ask me and I didn't ask you to come up with this song. It is how great thou art, not how great I am. That's what it is. And we just sang that this morning. Another advantage is that it drives you to your knees. Have you been driven to your knees? But see, if you think you're perfect and you don't have any knees, and God has to ask you permission, and God has to come to you and get advice from you, you will never be driven to your knees. But when you realize that we are perfectly imperfect, it brings you to your knees. Let me tell you how it works out for me. Before I leave my house, I just tell God, Father, I know that apart from you, I am not able to do a single thing. I realize that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, I cannot bear fruit. I need to abide. And notice that the scripture says we bear, the Holy Spirit produces his fruit. We just bear what he's doing. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want to draw near to you. Lord, I am perfectly imperfect. Open my eyes so that I can see what you see. Remind me that when I am weak, then I am strong. And when you realize that, and you've learned that, and you chewed on that, and you digested that, then you don't talk down to people anymore. I don't know if you've been to a church where people look down and you're like, well, you haven't been a member here yet 35 years, and we're going to have to put you on that list to see if God could ever use you, because, see, you're not perfect yet. Not exactly like that, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, when I was in prison, for those of you who are watching, I used to be a correctional chaplain. I remember, and I told my wife this, the very day when God gave me the hearts of the man in prison. It was the day when I stood before them and I said, listen, guys, I might not have committed some of the crimes that you guys have committed, but I want you to know that I need Jesus just as much as every one of you does. And that day they realized I wasn't speaking down to them, that the ground was level, it was a level playing field, that if you come to Christ, he will forgive you, he will change you, and even though you're imperfect as of now, he can still use you. Can I get an amen? You don't speak down to people. The people realize, wait a minute, if God can use angel, no wings, no halo, he can use me too. Imperfect leaders realize that his power is perfected in our weakness. When we're weak, then I am strong. I said, hey, Brother Garcia, can you put some Puerto Rican seasoning on that? A little bit of, some of you will know this, adobo on that. A little bit of, well, okay, since you are asking and insisting, I'm just going to give you a practical illustration that happened last week. When you realize that apart from Christ, you're useless. When you realize that apart from Christ, you can do nothing, then you walk out of your house with your eyes open, wanting to see what God is already doing. And open and available to whatever the Spirit of God wants to do in you and through you. So you, when that happens, you can have church in the 9th floor of Hurley Hospital. All right, some of you were there with me, right? I mean, I went to see my dear brother, Bob Mossman. He was on the 9th floor. And I get up there before you know, we got the Bible open. People are listening. The nurses are listening. I'm passing out Mayfair Bible card. That's why, Gwen, you got to keep ordering those cards for me. And you know, before you know it, we're in the presence of God in a hospital room. And we're in tears, and people, what's going on in this little square room shared by the other person? These people are crying. They're hugging each other. They're praying for each other. The nurses want to know where the church is at. This is not me, people. This is God. This is not I. It's Jesus in us for his glory. So after we're having church in room 905, I see through the window that it started to rain a little bit. I don't know about you. I don't like getting wet in the rain. So I told Brother Bob, I hope they let you go tomorrow. I love you, and I hope to see you in church as soon as possible. So I'm saying, let me put on my Speedy Gonzalez shoes and doom, 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 doom. I'm going real fast getting out there because I don't want to. And as I'm going through the hallway, this man on a wheelchair with a baseball hat says, "What's up?" So I reply, "What's up?" And I just get doom, 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 going real fast. My Speedy Garcia, I walk. And then as I'm walking towards the elevator, the green elevators at Hurley Hospital, I hear this language that's not English. And honest to the Lord, I first thought it was Arabic. And I don't know Arabic, so I just get going. And then something tells me, stop and listen. So I listen again, and behold, it's not Arabic, it's Spanish. So I turn back, and I said, hola, amigos, means hi, friends. I hear you guys speaking my language. That's fantastic. What's your name? I'm Angel. I'm from Mayfair Bible Church. And he said, can you pray for my mom? His daughter was the one pushing him on the wheelchair. Next thing you know, I find out that that lady can make some flan. That's when you go, And I said, my wife makes a killer flan. Some of you could say, I've tasted and seen. That's as good as he gets to the marriage supper of the Lamb from this side of the earth. I mean, it's good stuff. And she makes a killer tres leches, right, Pastor? I mean, that's a, so we're having a conversation about food, but next thing you know, it switches from food to the fact that I'm here to serve Jesus. How can I pray for you? And let me invite you to our church. I said, Pastor Garcia, you're just so melodramatic. You take a simple encounter. Let me tell you, I couldn't possibly orchestrate this. I was going Speedy Gonzalez speed. And some of you said, well, that never happens. Listen, I've invited people at restaurants. At one time, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's come to our church. He might be here today, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, because, you know, I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. And when we went there, there was a sign right at the front there where you pay that says, the cook today is Angel. I said, wait a minute, I'm not cooking. So I asked the lady, what do you mean the cook is Angel? Oh, the guy, and that clicked on my heart. It's not a girl, it's a guy, Angel, because Angel in English could be a boy or a girl name, but in Spanish, it's only a boy name. The guy in the back cooking, well, I wasn't supposed to say his name, I just said it. I'm sorry, I'm imperfect, perfectly imperfect. I apologize. And I said, could you tell Angel that Angel is here and that Angel wants to see Angel? And she said, she didn't believe me that I had to pull my license. I said, yeah, that's my real name. So they brought him out. I met him. I gave him another card from our church. We loved it. It was like 6-8 months, but you know what? He's been coming to our church. This perfectly imperfect angel, no wings, no halo. God could do the same through you. Just be courageous. He wants you to belong in the body of Christ. He wants you to thrive with Christ. That's what he wants for you. And lastly, I want you to see the perfect God in verses 7 and 9. So we've seen the imperfect church, and we've seen the imperfect leaders that need to depend on God because without him, we're not able to do a single thing. And now I want you to see that although we are imperfect, we serve a perfect God. In verses 7 and 9, Paul makes it very clear. He says, so then neither he who plants is anything, Apollos, Paul. No, we're not it. Neither he who waters, no, we're not it. It could be Cephas, it could be another, it could be a pastor, it could be a deacon, it could be you. Listen, it's not about us, it's about the one who is only able to bring the increase, to bring the growth. That is Jesus. Paul is saying, you need to look at the perfect God. He is the only one who is indispensable. There is coming a day, I said this already, but I want to say it again. Because we need to hear this. This coming a day when the perfect God will complete the work that he started in us. How do you know? He promised it in the Bible. And the imperfect local church on earth will be presented to the Son of God, by the Son of God to God the Father, perfect, without stain or blemish, a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. But in the meantime, you can't allow imperfection, imperfect people. Amen. I'm back on. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Dan. See, that's how it works. Because we are perfectly imperfect, we need one another. That was not planned, in case you think. That wasn't planned. That just happened. And in the meantime, we cannot allow imperfection and we cannot allow imperfect people from keeping us from going with God. Now, listen to me. While it is good to belong and is great to thrive, it is essential to go with God. Paul here tells us that God is the only one. Highlight that, circle it, underline it, put it in bold. God is the only one who is indispensable. But in spite of that, he calls us to be fellow workers together with him. He says, you're God's building, not a building made with human hands, but living stones where Jesus is the cornerstone and the foundation. Check it out. The perfect God invites perfectly imperfect people to partner with him and to go with him. We plant and some of us water, but God gives the increase. Did you know, as I conclude, that many people reject Jesus because of bad experiences they had with religious people? Many people don't go to church. You meet them out there. And they said, you know, I don't want to go to church because the church is full of imperfect people. What kind of other people exist? I want to know. Somebody help me, please. As far as I know, there's only two categories: perfect God and imperfect us. I've even heard people use this. You might have heard this too. I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Anybody heard that? Am I the only one who hears things? You know, and this is, I have several answers for this excuse. Here's one. When somebody says to you, I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites, you can say, ain't you glad that they're in a place where they can get help from God? Just like the rest of imperfect people, right? I mean, they're in the right place to get help. But I think it's funny because the people that use that excuse not to go to church don't use that excuse in other places. It's almost as if that only applies to church. But let me tell you, the church is not the only place where you have some of those people. That's like saying, I don't go to the hospital because there's sick people there. Right? Oh, imagine you saying, I'm not going to go to the bank ever in my life because some banker deceived some person or stole some money. That's happened over and over almost every day throughout the world. But you don't stop that from letting you go to the bank and use the bank. You don't stop that from going to college, even though there are all kinds of stuff going on in college, universities. There have been professors who've been deceiving people, and there have been hypocrites out there too. And you don't let that stop you from going to the bank, going to the hospital, going to college, going to work. How about work? Do you know anybody at work? Don't say their name. Don't raise your hand. Just look spiritual for me right now. Do you let that stop you from going to work? It is almost as if that is a hypocritical answer when you only apply it to church and not to life. It is hypocritical to use a hypocrite excuse only to church and nowhere else. Sometimes they catch me on the wrong day. And I'm not as nice as I am being right now. Sometimes they say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. I'm not going to go there. I say, well, if the church is full of hypocrites, one more won't matter. Come right in. Steve, I should put that on a cup too, right? Don't steal my million-dollar ideas, okay? But I want to remind you this morning, as the praise team comes up, the worship team's going to come up, and they're going to be leading us in one song. I want to remind you that the perfect God made everything possible for perfectly imperfect people to belong to him. That the perfect God made it possible for us to thrive together with him and even partner with the perfect God. All of this is because of Jesus, who died so that you could be made alive, who died so that you could be found, who died so you could be a friend of God and not be at enmity with God, but have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I told you what's going to make sense at the end, right? The Corinthian church, come on, people, that church had problems. Read the epistle, you say, Brother Garcia, you haven't told us half of it. And you might say, if I lived in that day and time, I would never become a member of that church because that church was imperfect. Let me tell you, there were no perfect churches. But God, I love that, but God took this imperfect church, and because of them, we now have in 1 Corinthians 13 the chapter of love. Hallelujah! Because they have problems with the spiritual gifts, now we have chapter 12 in the book that talks about how to allow God to use the gifts that he's given you for his glory and how to pursue excellence and seek the greater, which is love. Because of the First Corinthian church, that imperfect church, we know how to handle difficult issues, disciplines in church, cases of immorality. Because of them, it's written in the Bible. Because of this church, we got that great chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, the chapter of the resurrection. Hallelujah. We got that chapter where Paul cries out, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? God has triumphed, and he's made you more than conqueror in him. Let me say this. If God can use the Corinthian church, and think about how many people have blessed in the last 20 centuries, almost 21 centuries, because of the First Corinthian imperfect church. We have this golden treasury, this legacy from God and the Bible, from where we draw hope and strength and courage and faith to go on tomorrow. To believe, oh Lord, I know I'm not perfect, but you are. And I cannot do a single thing without you. But with you, all things are possible. Oh Lord, use me for your glory. Remind me that I am weak, but when I am weak, then you're strong and your power is perfected in weakness. And glorify your name in your church and through your church. And I want to remind you, church, sooner or very soon, it's coming a day when the Son of God is going to come back for his bride. And in that day, you're going to look good. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And the final trump shall sound. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. And then we'll be like Jesus. We will be without spot and blemish. But in the meantime, I ask you and I dare you to believe that the perfect God uses imperfect people. And because he's using imperfect people, the glory does not belong to us, but belongs to the one who died and rose again, ascended to the heavens, and is coming back from us, for us. Would you please stand as I pray? This morning, I want to invite you to come to the one who died for you, to come by faith, asking him to save you. So as we sing, I'm coming down here, and I'm going to be here if you need prayer. Maybe you have believed in Christ and placed your faith and trust in him already, and you just need prayer. You want to be used by God, and you were hesitating. Maybe you were thinking of looking for the perfect church, and you never found it, and you found Mayfair Bible and realized they serve the perfect God who could use imperfect people for his glory. I want to pray for you. So let me pray, and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you. And we give you the glory, the honor. And all of this is for the praise of your name. We want to be used by you. And we want to declare our dependence on you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Oh, Father, we need your empowerment to go with you. We belong to the body. We want to thrive, grow in Christ. And then believe that you want us to co-labor together. Fellow workers together with you, the perfect one with the imperfect one, to reach the world with a message of faith, hope, and salvation, which is found only in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. And God's people say, amen.